Blog Talk Radio.
And I am on. Thank you for joining us tonight on Fear This. We are going to be joined momentarily by Rachel and Jamie. We're going to talk a little bit about the Waverly Hills experience this past weekend. And I am Georgina. I am with Fear Dallas, helping out tonight with Fear Austin. Like I said, shortly we will have Rachel on with us. Been kind of a busy little day around here. Let's see. Gosh, we've got so much coming up. I just can't even keep up with it. Number one, this coming weekend, if you don't have anything to do and would like to take a trip to Louisiana, please check out our Fear page, our Fear Paranormal Society. There is information there about the Bonnie and Clyde Ambush Festival that's going to be going on, and that is in Gibbstown or Gibbsland. I'm trying to pull it up real quick if I'm talking here. And this Bonnie and Clyde Ambush Museum, and that is this weekend. It will be a blast if you're over in that area. Later in the month, I'm sure we'll have some more announcements. Still working on a couple of things. You never know what's going to happen with us all. And hopefully, Jamie, have you made it in yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Rachel? Hey, Jamie, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am good. Rachel will be joining us as soon as she can. We are experiencing a little technical difficulty again. But we'll get through it. Really glad that you made it on. You have been a hell of a road warrior, girl.
Yes, I have. We went through 7 states, and I can't even tell you how many cities and towns we went through. It was a crazy trip.
Oh, my gosh. So when did you get home? Did you get home yesterday?
I got home last night about 9 o'clock.
Oh, geez.
So I'm pretty tired today.
That's okay.
Oh. It was all worth it. I got to see so many different things. And, you know, we went sightseeing in almost every major city we went through. So it was all worth it. I mean, we had so much fun. And Waverly, oh my gosh. That was awesome. I can't even tell you what an awesome place that is. I had so much fun investigating with everyone. And, of course, I know we'll get more into it, but.
I'll make a rundown real quick of the places, the haunted places anyway that I got to see. Didn't get to investigate, but did get to see. When I went through St. Louis, Missouri, I got to go to the Limp Mansion. And fortunately, it was closed because they were preparing for a wedding. But there was a really cool guy at the front, and I cannot remember his name. I hate that. I should have written it down. But all I can remember is he was wearing a Dallas Cowboys shirt. Go Dallas, I guess. Anyway, but he let us in because we told him that we were from Oklahoma and we were only there for the day. We wouldn't be able to come back. So he let us in. He let us look around. I got several pictures. Of course, got to visit the gift shop. That was the most important thing. But anyway, he was so cool. Got to look around. It was really, really neat. And then, of course, I know you got to go also to Wilder, Kentucky, to Bobby Mackey's. And again, it was closed. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was pretty disappointed with them because I waited until Sunday to go because on their website, they advertise that they have tours at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 6 o'clock on Sundays. Well, I'm not sure what the deal was, but I had the day before had left an email for the girl that was in charge of it. She didn't answer me back. So early in the morning, I left a message for her. She didn't answer me back. So finally, I left a text message for her, and she finally answered me back, and she said they were not doing it that day. I was pretty upset with her because I told her, I said, you know, I've been planning this whole time. You know, I tried to get in touch with you. You never would answer me back, and we drove all the way to Wilder and couldn't get to go on the tour. But anyway, that's okay. Then we went on into Cincinnati, Ohio, spent several hours there looking around. And then on our way back, you know, we went to Waverly. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But then as we were were coming back home, I got to go by the Octagon House in Franklin, Kentucky. Again, you know, just got to look around, didn't really get to do anything, but it was so cool, though, still really neat. And then I was really saddened. I went to Adams, Tennessee, to the Bell Witch Cave.
Oh, they were closed.
I was like, I swear, I cannot believe that every place I went to was closed or weren't doing their tours or whatever. But, you know, got to kind of go on the grounds just a little bit, you know, of course, just right there at the front. Didn't really get to get out of the cave. Really disappointed with that, but hopefully I'll get another chance to go again. And then as I came into Memphis, we went to the Peabody Hotel, which is also supposed to be very haunted. Did get to look around in there and stuff, but, you know, didn't get to do any investigations, of course, because they're in business. So, but it was so pretty on the inside. Got a lot of pictures and stuff. Really cool. Of course, in Memphis, went by Sun Records. Played around a little bit on Beale Street. awesome time. So,
oh, man. That is the way to do
that's
it.
Oh, my goodness. We were gone for 6 days. So, anyway, sorry, didn't mean to take up all your time.
Oh, no. Yeah, it is. You know, that's what we get to do is just talk. These are the kind of shows I really do enjoy because we get to relive what we did. And, you know, it's just an easy conversation. And it was so much fun, but I like the way you did it. I basically flew out Saturday and hit Cincinnati. We actually flew into Cincinnati. It was cheaper, half price, basically, to fly into Cincinnati and drive the hour and 30 minutes to Louisville, Kentucky. Okay. So there's your travel note right there. If you're ever going flying into Louisville, Kentucky, check around because that was a lot cheaper. And then, of course, flew right back out Monday because the investigation was Sunday night. So it was a bit of a whirlwind, I felt like. There were some other things I could have done, but as far as the non-Waverly things, we did stop at Bobby Mackey's, and yes, they were closed, but I was pretty sure they would be since it was a Saturday afternoon. I just kind of wish that we had planned on, like, going back and at least having a couple of drinks in the bar or something like that just to get inside. And, of course, you will see those pictures on our Fear Paranormal page and my personal page, I'm sure Jamie's personal page, all that good stuff. And it was cool. I have to admit, that is in Wilder, Kentucky. I was shocked at how close it was to the city.
I couldn't believe it either.
Yeah, okay, so good. It wasn't just me. It was like, wow. But at the same time, I kind of felt like that location, the look and feel of it just was way different than I expected to from the outside. It wasn't as suburban as it looked once you got there. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes. Yes, and it's right there on a major highway. I mean, it was, I don't know how you could do any EVPs in there because you're going to hear traffic the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
But,
the whole
I was really surprised. Because, you know, seeing it on TV and things, it looked like it was way, you know, kind of set off by itself, but it's not. It's kind of right there in the middle of everything. And like you said, I mean, you can, it wasn't what? It was less than a mile, and you were into the Cincinnati, the Ohio state line.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then Cincinnati is huge. It was so pretty to see Cincinnati, the whole skyline. I mean, it was crazy. I didn't realize how close it was.
Yeah, it was very much so. You know, as we were following the GPS to get there, it was like, are you sure? Are you sure? It says it's not true. 3, 2, 1, what? That was pretty cool. So I'm glad I at least got the picture, and I guess what we'll just have to plan, oh, my gosh, another trip maybe.
Sure. I'm up for it.
Oh, I figured you would be. And so then we got to Waverly Hills. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to tell you, our GPS was very interesting. For anyone that plans on taking this trip and doing this location in the future, here's a big fat FYI. And the owners of Waverly Hills, they do a fabulous job of telling you this. I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, if you just type in the address, it takes you to what is technically, I guess, a side entrance. And it's really kind of creepy looking, but that's not the right one. You do need to turn by the golf club there, that golf course. I think, Bobby Nichols was the name of it. Is that right? I can't remember.
To tell you the truth, I don't remember. I just remember the street was like, I think it was the major, when you turn off of, to get to Paraly, I believe that was Pages
yeah.
Road, the main road.
Yeah, Pages
and then
Road,
you turn
right.
at the golf course. And then you turn at the golf course.
And
so
you go right
I felt so bad because I was almost 30 minutes late because we had such a hard time finding it. But we finally found it, got there.
yes, that's a very good tip to give everyone.
And to make you feel a little better, you were not the last one there. Did you notice that?
I know, but I missed out on a lot of the pictures out front, though, because, you know, they were already wanting everybody inside, and so I didn't get very many pictures of the exterior of the building, which I just hated, but oh well.
Hopefully I'll be able to go back again someday.
You will, because I plan on going back. I definitely do. And it's really interesting as you drive up, Kentucky's beautiful. That particular area,
yes.
That Ohio River Valley, Kentucky, was just amazingly gorgeous. So you're driving up paved road. They do not open the gate until it is time for them to open the gate. And I can understand that. They probably get a lot of tourist traffic or people just wanting to get a look. You cannot see it from any of the highways and roads that surround it. By driving up, and even once you drive up to the gate, you can't really see it. It's only after you get into the gate, and then
yes,
as you
but
drive
they offer
up,
several daytime tours, you know, and then of course investigations and things. So there's a lot of opportunity to get up there and see it, but you'll just have to be sure and look at their schedule of what they offer.
Yes, it's definitely not a place you drop in. You do want to plan ahead on this one. It's pretty popular, and it is just beautiful as you drive up through the gate. It's kind of a winding curve up onto a hill, and then as it comes into view, it was just amazing, overwhelming, gorgeous, beautiful place. This huge red brick building in the middle of I have a very wooded area. I don't know that I would say forest necessarily. I'm not real good with the forest terminology, evidently, based on that area.
A bunch of trees. And then this time of year, everything was so plush and green and just beautiful. And then, of course, the building has the bat wing design, which was just awesome. And it has, did they consider it 5 floors and then the basement? So it's a huge, huge thing.
It was huge. It is in person.
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew it was
like,
big, but when you got there, it was just massive.
It really was. And, oh, my God. Did you notice the honeysuckle? The honeysuckle was in full bloom everywhere.
Yeah.
It was. I don't know that I'll ever smell honeysuckle again and not think about it.
It smelled so good.
It was great. I get all geeked out over the architecture and the natural setting. I apologize to my listeners who are not interested in that part of it. We'll get to it. and they do, as Jamie mentioned, they do historical tours. It's just really cool to listen. I did not get that opportunity, but one of my friends did get to go through Susan Hill. Thank you. Shout out, girl. Love the history you brought to the investigation. She was able to attend, and thank God, the girl also had an internal compass, because let me tell you, like Jamie said, 5 stories tall, plus I guess technically a basement, and then you've also got that laundry room, which is now the gift shop, and it was, what, 168,000 square feet, I think was the square footage
yes.
they gave us. And, yes, fortunately, we had a full moon. I can't imagine
yes.
how dark that place must be on a night without a full moon like that.
Yes.
It was.
Because there were places in there that was still completely dark. I mean, you had to have either night vision or, you know, you better have a flashlight or you're not going to be able to find your way around.
Yes, because once you get inside and start the investigation, there's only one door that you go in and out of, and that's a protective security measure. The place is just too big. So they do that to keep you safe while you're there on investigation. And you can very easily, 5 floors, 168,000 square feet, you can very easily get lost and get disoriented.
And we did. We got lost several times, actually.
Yeah, and so it was great. We got there. The owners met us, and I'm going to, boy, I am really doing the old person brain tonight. I believe the lady's name is Tina Mattingly. Is
yeah.
that correct? That owns the place?
Yeah.
And I cannot remember her husband's name to save my life at the moment.
I don't remember his name either.
They are
but
wonderfully accommodating.
Awesome. Yes.
She really was. Yeah. It was, so they brought us in, introduced themselves. We set up, they gave us a rundown of what the place, you know, how the investigations were going to run. And thank you, thank you, thank you to Becky Ham Travis of the ASAP Entertainment Group. Once again, y'all put on a fabulous event. It was great. And so Becky gave us the rundown, set us up with our lead investigators, our guest investigators, and then we were basically given a schedule and set loose. It was fun. Now, Jamie, where was it that we started out? Do you remember?
We started on the 5th floor, which is where Mary Lee, who was a nurse, apparently the story is, and you might have to correct me if I mess up on this, but she had gotten pregnant, and they're not sure by whom. They think it may have been one of the physicians that worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she had also contracted tuberculosis from working there. And so they had told her, you know, that she needed to abort the baby because of her being ill. So apparently
right.
she aborted the baby and then was so remorseful about it that she did stay in room 502, but she hung herself outside of the room, which was right in front of the elevator, or what used to be the elevator. And so she stays in that area. And so we started there, and we had an awesome conversation with her with your app that you had. So do you want to talk
yeah.
more about your app? Because that was really cool. I really like that.
Oh, I tell you. All right. This is a major, I'm going to confess, I love Steve Huff. He and Anthony Sanchez have done some phenomenal things when it comes to software communication for spirit contact. Check it out at Huff Paranormal. I think it's ghosthunterapps.com. I'm not positive on that, so go to Steve Huff Paranormal, and you can get the link to all of the apps that I'm going to mention. The one that we used was the Ethereal. That is the second newest one. He's actually working on another one. They actually have another new one. The Ethereal does not require an internet connection. It doesn't require, it doesn't work like a spirit box where it runs through all of that white noise, so you don't get the noise that you do with a spirit box, or even the radio chatter that you get when you're using the Impossible Box or an STV-1. The ethereal, I'm just totally blown away by it. It was fabulous. And the conversation that Jamie is talking about was so clear. I've listened to it on my recordings, but I haven't clipped it out yet. We did just get back. I got back Monday. Jamie just got back yesterday. So I'm sure you haven't even had much time to go through any of your evidence, have you?
I have not gone through. The only thing I have gone through was a lot of my pictures. And unfortunately, so far, I haven't seen anything in my pictures.
Yeah, I haven't either. I haven't made a whole lot of effort at it either. Honestly, I'm still so tired from it all. But the key thing I took away from the fifth floor and that conversation, just bear with me because I can't remember the exact sequence of the questioning. We were still setting up the ethereal. We had a K2 meter set up that was getting a lot of hits in one area, and then when we moved it, we got fewer hits. Just some different things like that were going on. Finally got the ethereal up and going, and I believe we asked.
On my 360 Periscope? On my 360
oh, yeah.
Periscope? Yeah, we were getting hits on that, but it was just like, it was almost like she was just going around the room. You know, because like
yeah,
you said,
like
the K2 would go off.
Yeah,
and then the Periscope would go off. So it was just strange. It was just like she was just kind of going around checking us out. I'm not sure if it was just her or there was a man in there that was also speaking. Was that Matthew or what was his name?
We kept getting Matthew again. And that's one of those things. I got Matthew again today at lunch, by the way. I did a session at lunch again today, and I'm beginning to think that Matthew is somehow tied to me, possibly. I don't know. I'm still working on this. Matthew is a name that shows up every time I use an ethereal. Every time, even when it's not my tablet and my setup. So I'm still working on that angle. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I got distracted for a second.
We were talking about the conversation that we had with Mary Lee, the nurse. She answered several questions of ours, and unfortunately, like I said, we do need to go back and listen to that. But what I do remember is, you know, we asked her why she was there, and she said she stayed because of her baby. And then, you know, as we were speaking, she kept saying she was in pain. And we, of course, apologized and, you know, asked if there's anything we could do, but she didn't really answer about that. And then I feel like I made a mistake. I remember with the story that they did find the baby's body in the sewer. And so I asked her, you know, because she was so distraught about the baby, I asked her, was that true? You know, was the baby thrown in the sewer? And she answered yes, and then stopped talking to us. And so I apologized to her, and I said, I didn't mean to hurt her feelings. I was just trying to find out, you know, why was the baby thrown in the sewer? But again, after I asked that question, she might have, you know, said just a couple of more things, but she stopped talking to us.
Yeah, at that point it did go kind of dead, and I know you did apologize to her for that, and it was an interesting interaction. I can't wait to get that all clipped out because it's so very clear. We asked her about being there, and she did say that she lost her baby, and it was just a really cool experience to get that kind of confirmation. It was very intelligent. Throughout the night, I felt like we got a lot of intelligent responses.
Yes, we did. And at the beginning, you know, she did answer a lot of questions about her story. And Susan got so moved, you know, it moved her to tears. I mean, it was very, very sad speaking to her because you could feel and you could hear the pain in her voice. And it was just, it was very moving. It was very sad.
And I, you know, I wish there was something that we could do to help her, but she's been there all these years, and I don't think anyone could move her along, even if they wanted to.
I would agree with that, and I'm glad you kind of brought that aspect of this up. Several of the things, the shows that I have seen, kind of give Waverly Hills and their spirits and entities kind of like a negative perspective. I didn't feel anything negative while I was there. I felt like overall, for the situation they were in, let me qualify that, for the situation they were in, I really felt that they were happy, may not be the right word, but definitely content and well taken care of. Would you agree with that, Jamie?
Yes. Yes, I would. Because, you know, like I said, Tina, she's such an awesome person. And she does. I mean, she knows all of their history. She knows them by name. And, you know, she doesn't allow provoking or anything like that. And so if they want to talk to you, they will. But I feel like, you know, just like any other person, they want their story known. And I feel like Tina does an awesome job with that. She's a very special person.
Definitely. Let's see, then we move from there to the body shoot.
Yes, we did.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I got to tell you, for those that aren't familiar with it, let me give you some numbers. 500 feet, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
It's 500 feet long. I don't know exactly how wide, but I'm going to tell you it's not much wider than maybe 8 feet.
That's what I was thinking, around 8 to 10 feet, maybe.
Yeah, and it's concrete. It's at a 45-degree angle from the ground when you go in the door at ground level, and you go down into the body chute. It's easily a 45-degree angle.
And I can definitely verify that, because my butt muscles and my leg muscles were so sore from going all the way down and coming back up.
Definitely. I would love... Yeah, that 45... I would love to know the number of steps in there, by the way.
And I should have counted. I didn't think to count.
It was kind of weird steps, too. Okay, because when you go through the chute, when you go through the hallway to get to the chute, there's this interesting little cistern, is what I want to call it. It's about knee-high there in that corner. Not really sure what that was for, where that iron gate was with the expanded metal on it.
I never did hear either what that was for.
Okay, I'm going to find that out. Okay, because to me it reminded me of a cistern, which, you know, usually a cistern is used to collect rainwater, but I have a feeling it probably wasn't rainwater they were collecting in that. It wasn't that deep, it wasn't that big, but it was just kind of odd. And then you went down, it was like 3 feet level, and then like 3 or 4 steps down to another 3 foot level, to 3 or 4 steps to 3 foot level, all the way down that 500 feet on the left side. And then, of course, on the right side, it's a slope, because that's where they had the conveyor system. And you got to be really, really, really careful over there because of the leftover metal part that are way rusted and not very. That was the one area that was super, super dark, because there was no ambient light coming in except at the end of the tunnel. And Jamie, why don't you take it from here? Because you went all the way down. I only went about halfway down.
Yes. Well, what we kept seeing was, first of all, Josh Bass, which I know he didn't get to join us tonight, but he had kept hearing little movements down closer to the bottom, and he kept hearing something, and I'm not sure what it was. But then
as we went maybe not even a quarter of the way down the chute, you could see movement at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see almost perfect. You could see silhouettes of people. You could see their heads, their shoulders, their arms, their legs. And so my automatic thinking, you know, was either there is somebody down there or, you know, I don't know Tina very well, but the first thing I thought was it's a setup. You know, there's like a movie or something going on down there. And,
mm-hmm.
Well, we disproved that because me and Josh, we went all the way to the bottom. When we got down there, there was a big piece of plastic that's over the end. And then, of course, there's metal bars over the end, you know, again, for safety to keep people out. So I just automatically assumed, oh, okay, it's that plastic that's flapping, and that's what's making the movement. No, the plastic was pulled tight. The plastic did not move at all. And then, you know, of course, the bars, you could see the bars. I mean, they were plain as day. But we stayed down there and did EVPs and everything for probably, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes.
Oh, at least
never saw movement.
Yeah.
Never saw movement. I even thought maybe it was tree branches. You know, maybe the trees were like moving in the wind or something. Nothing. There was nothing at the bottom. There was no shadow play. Nothing. So then we finally, you know, stop doing everything and we start coming back up to the top. We get about halfway. And again, like I said, my leg muscles and my butt muscles were burning at this point. And so we stopped. And just before I was going to tell Josh that I needed to stop because my legs were getting so tired, I heard some footsteps behind me, like someone was coming up the stairs behind me. And you know how mm-hmm. it kind of makes your muscles in your back stiffen up, like somebody's fixing to touch me? And so
yeah.
I automatically turn around with my flashlight, and, of course, no one's there. And so I hollered at Josh. I was like, okay, you need to stop for a minute because, number one, my legs are tired. But, number two, I heard footsteps behind me. I swear somebody was coming up right behind me, but no one there. So we stopped again, and we started watching the end, and you could see perfect silhouettes. You could see the people, and there was like two at a time. And it was so weird because you could see their movements because it almost looked like they would stop and like talk to each other. And then,
mm-hmm.
then one would walk off and then another one would walk back in. They were just walking back and forth, and you could see perfect. Like I said, you
Hello?
Could see the outlines of their head.
Hi.
How are you?
Yes.
How are
Yay.
You? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your show.
Oh, that's okay.
Well,
please
continue.
Show.
I've been, yes, I know. I'm so sorry. Hi, Jamie. How are you, darling?
Hello. Oh, I'm great. I'm awesome. Tired, but awesome.
Yeah, I heard. I've been listening. Oh, my gosh. Like, I was listening to your story about the body shoot. Please continue. That sounds absolutely wonderful.
Okay. But, yeah, like I said, at the end, you could see perfect silhouettes of their heads, their shoulders, their arms. And they would even reach their arms out like they were, I don't know, touching each other or shaking hands. I'm not sure. But you could see them reach their arms. You could see their legs. And you could see sometimes they would walk straight across. But then other times they would come up and turn around and then go back. It was the craziest thing I have ever seen in my life. And so, but as you said, we were on a schedule and we were running out of time. And so anyway, we had to go ahead and come on back up. But oh my gosh, that was the most awesome thing I have ever seen. It was so cool.
Well, and when y'all were down at the end of the tunnel of the body chute, rather, the periscope went off, correct?
Yes.
Am I remembering?
So sorry.
Yes.
I forgot to tell you that part. So, of course, I had my
Please.
Handheld periscope and my 360 periscope down there. Now, the 360 only blipped, like, you know, once or twice, nothing major. But my handheld periscope, it only has two prongs at the top, and it lights up kind of rainbow colors, red and green, and I think blue. Well, I've never seen this happen before, but Josh said, if you're here, make it light up green only. I've never seen the periscope light up with only one arm, and it stayed green for probably at least 15, 20 seconds, if not longer. I've never
oh, wow.
seen my periscope do that before.
And because anytime it lights up, it always lights up those arms. But it lit up the right arm, and it stayed green the whole time. That was the only color it lit up. So that was crazy. But yeah, we
so it actually knew it only it actually knew like what color to light up, which is really cool because
yes.
that's being that
yes.
kind of proves its intelligence. So that's awesome.
Yes, and like I said, I've had that handheld periscope for not a long time, probably less than a year, but I've used it several times and I've never seen it do that. So
that's pretty cool.
So much.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh,
we got,
that's cool.
So I'm dying. I've got to go back and listen to my EVPs and see what we did get down in there. But, again, I just got home about 9 o'clock last night. So I've been doing laundry and putting things away, so I haven't really had a lot of time to do anything today.
Yeah, you were like a little traveling bug everywhere. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that was
we
awesome.
Had so much fun.
All your little places. That's cool.
Yes.
So, actually, ladies, what I wanted to ask you is that obviously, I mean, Waverly, that was just awesome enough just to see the when you guys kind of did the periscope and stuff and showed it, I was like, oh, my gosh, it's amazing. And then when you were inside, did you get to go to any of the other types of buildings that were on the property as well or just stuck to the big, you know, the Waverly, the sanatorium itself?
It was pretty much the sanatorium itself. They've converted the what used to be the laundry room. I wish my laundry room were that big. It's the size of a house easily. Easily 2,000 square foot laundry room.
Oh my
seriously. Well, you've got to keep
I wouldn't enjoy spending all my
here.
Time in there, but it would be nice.
Yeah, it was, you know, at the time there was a TB epidemic that was going on. So the sheer volume of people and patients that they were having at the time was phenomenal. Waverly Hills is so huge, it had its own zip code. It had its own bakery. It had its own staff housing. If you worked at Waverly, you lived at Waverly. If you were a patient at Waverly, yeah, it was just huge. Gosh, I'm going to go totally dumb on you here. I cannot remember the numbers, but it's huge. We're talking 30, 40,000 people, okay? Huge.
Wow.
But those were the two rooms, or the two buildings, basically, that are authorized for public investigations like we did.
Oh, okay. So did she ever tell you about the cemetery and things like that, too, as well, or... Was it just, because I was curious about that, if they had a cemetery actually on site or if they, you know what I mean?
I don't think that they had a cemetery on site. Do you remember her saying anything about that, Georgina?
I don't remember there being any discussion on it. I know there is because there has to be based on some of the research I did beforehand. And the fact is, a lot of people that passed away there, their families couldn't necessarily afford to bring them back home.
Oh,
and,
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And after they shut it down, yeah, it really is sad. After they shut it down as a sanitarium or a sanatorium, and yes, there is a difference, they, a couple of years later, opened it back up as a... what we refer to as a nursing home or senior living facility. And
that's
so there were deaths.
I remember reading that.
Yeah, there's still
did
a
they,
lot
Did they ever
more.
Have, like, oh, really? That was going to be my next question. Like, did they ever, like, did Tina ever discuss if there were any other spirits, like, from the nursing home, actually, that you know, were able to be, you know, caught on, like, EVP or, you know, seen apparitions of or anything like that? Or was it basically just, like, shadows a lot?
Jamie, what do you remember from that?
Well, I don't remember her saying any spirits from the nursing room facility, but I don't know if they would be able to tell a difference unless, you know, the spirit actually answered that question. Because what I found, I guess I shouldn't say funny, but... what I found funny is I think it was on the third floor. We got a male and female not a couple, but they, a male and a female, were actually speaking to us and answering questions, and their names were Charles and Diana.
So, oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, I even thought those two people could have possibly been from the nursing home, but they were a little bit more sporadic with their answers and things, so they weren't spot on like Mary Lee was on the fifth floor. So they would just kind of answer here and there and just then just say, you know, random things. So we didn't get just a whole lot of information out of Charles and Diana.
Yeah, they were kind of like passing through or something, it felt like.
Okay.
Just trying to think what the next, those were the two most active places, were the fifth floor and the body chute.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, the fifth floor. Yeah, I was going to say the fifth floor had a lot of activity going on, because I know the notorious room, you know, 502, and then if you guys had seen anything or, you know, had experienced anything while you were there on that fifth floor, because I heard that was probably one of the most active places as well.
It was. And I got to tell you, and I'm sure Jamie will collaborate with me on this one, it was so freaking cold by 2 o'clock in the morning, and we made it to the fourth floor that we were just kind of like, oh, my God, if we don't, like, keep moving or something, we're going to freeze.
Yeah,
it was very cold.
A matter of fact, the night we were doing our investigation, there was a frost warning.
No way, for real?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, it was like 35 degrees at one point.
Oh, my gosh,
say that was
that's
like
crazy.
Yeah,
well,
it was crazy cold.
Blowing through. You know, because it's the second, third, and fourth floors. You know, or fifth, I guess, also, but they have the balconies out front. There's no windows or anything, and the doors are all open, and so the wind was just blowing through, and it was so
Man. Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
It was, weather was I'm not going to say an issue, but it was definitely a contributing factor. Those porches that Jamie's talking about were easily 20 feet wide, okay? And
wow, really?
Yes, easily. You could fit, I keep going back to houses, you could literally fit 3/4 of a house on that porch. They were so wide. And forever. I just can't even, the length of that building and those porches. And you're talking about all five, well, I guess 4 floors, the porches were that way. And then the fifth floor was the roof. It was the roof.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
my gosh. That's right.
Yeah. I mean,
it was
the
fifth floor. Also where the roof extended out, and that's where the children would play. They had the swings and all that stuff out there.
Yeah, on the very top, right?
Yes.
Right.
Like on the very top of the roof, they had like little swing sets and things like that, and... Oh, that's cool. Did you get to go up there to investigate too?
Yes.
Oh, were you brave enough to go up there with the cold? I should ask.
Well, fortunately, we started there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's a smart move.
Yeah.
Well, and here's an interesting tidbit that I didn't know. And Tina brought this up. No, actually, it wasn't Tina. It was Melanie, who was our tour guide on the, we're going to take a quick razzoo through here so that you know where you're at kind of thing. And Melanie is one of the tour guides there at Waverly. And she was telling us that tuberculosis is something that's not restricted to the lungs. You can actually have tuberculosis of the brain. Okay,
yes, that is true.
And tuberculosis of the brain, my understanding, is kind of like the mad cow disease type scare. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
Does that sound right? And so
along that line,
Yeah. So what they had were the children playing on the swing sets on one end of the roof, and the tuberculosis of the brain elderly-ish kind of people on the other end of the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of laughed about how that probably wasn't the smartest arrangement. I thought it was funny. Maybe I'm kind of bent that way, but it's kind of funny. But you got mentally challenged people on one end of the roof and children on the other. Okay.
Yeah,
just kind of crazy.
So I know that like when I saw some of the pictures and stuff on, you know, Facebook and things like that and social media, I saw that you had actually gotten into one of the slabs, like in the morgue.
Yes.
That was very interesting, and I'm very proud of you for doing that. But how did that feel? Like, you know,
well,
I'm just going to get rolled up in here.
Well, it's kind of strange because, you know, there were several people doing it, getting in there. Of course,
yeah.
You know, I have the block, so I never feel. But what was strange is whenever I got in there, I asked Regina to use my phone to take pictures of me. She took multiple pictures. They wouldn't show up on my phone. And then she actually took some pictures with her phone, and some of those wouldn't show up on her phone.
Whoa,
so,
that's trippy.
So I actually had to have someone else take some pictures on their phone, and it finally took, and they had to text them to me because mine wouldn't show up on my phone.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, some other people got in there, and of course they did things, and a lot of them kind of got freaked out and wanted back out. So, but, you
mm-hmm.
know, I went in there smiling. Not really. I actually went in there twice because, like I said, the pictures wouldn't turn out. So I had to get back in there. Oh, my goodness, that's so funny. But like I said, I didn't sense
to
feel anything, but I never
did. It was really weird. Jamie was braver than I. Jamie went first. But I found out later, Jamie, that we were ding-dongs because that little wooden thing that we laid on actually slid out. Did you know that?
No, everyone else is doing the same thing.
That's usually how they would do that. Yeah, they'd wheel it out, and they'd put, you know, the body on there, and then they'd roll it back in.
We didn't think they were.
Rusted and everything, and so we just assumed that you just had to crawl in there because no one else was.
Oh, no.
Right, you know? So we could just climb in there and climb back
out. So now you need to go back so you can get the full experience next time.
Definitely. By that time, I think next time we will do it with just one or two people at a time in the room. But Jamie got in first. Jamie handed me her picture, her camera. I must have taken like 6 or 7 pictures, and I thought, okay, good. These look good. I see it. That looks like a picture. And Jamie comes out, and she looks at it, and she goes, where are they? And I'm like,
oh, wow.
I took them. So she gets back in. And this time I have another lady named Sean, who was with us at this point in the morning, standing behind me as I'm taking the pictures going, yeah, that one took. Yeah, that one took. None of them showed up on Jane's phone. Not one of them.
So weird. Oh, my gosh. So weird. Interesting.
Definitely.
Wow.
It was probably one of the, I think that was the craziest type experience we had for me.
Yeah.
It was just stupid crazy, why or why not, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
So that was pretty interesting. And then, of course, we all took our turn, and, yeah, I'm claustrophobic. But what helped there was the fact that there wasn't anything above you, so you could actually see out. That really helped me out a lot. And all of my pictures, of course, turned out fine. It's just Jamie for some reason.
And one of the pictures that you even showed to me, you know, before, I guess it was on your phone. But anyway, there was at one point, like a black square across my eyes. And I don't
really
have
a picture.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there are bars in there and things, but you could see the bars where they were.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was like a, not a perfect, but there was like a black square over my eyes, and we couldn't figure out where that came from or why it was there.
Oh, that's so strange. Wow. Well, I can't wait to see that. That's going to be really cool.
I know, and I'm not sure whose phone that was on. Do you remember, Georgina?
Yeah. The black bar across your eyes was weird.
Yes.
It didn't show up in any other picture.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like there were three pictures in a row and Jamie had a black bar across her eyeballs. And that's
right,
basically
exactly
where it was as far as the picture goes. And the way the bars were positioned in that particular, you know, body slab thing, you can look at the pictures on our Facebook page and see them. It was just that, I think, was it one picture or maybe two? And then the rest of them, it wasn't there. There was no reason for it to be there.
Right, because I think it was just on the one picture, because the one before it didn't have it, and then the one after we took didn't have it. It was just the one.
Oh, weird. Oh, that's very interesting.
Did you guys get any, like, bad feelings while you were there? Like, did you feel...
Not at all.
I mean, I don't want to say threatened, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying, did you feel, like, any kind of ominous feelings at all, or, you know, not emotional as far as sad or angry, or... I was curious about that, if anybody picked up on anything like that there.
Well, now, it was sad talking to Mary Lee on the fifth floor, because, like I said,
yeah.
it moved Susan so much, she had to step out of the room, you know, because it made her start crying, and it affected us, too, just because, like I said, she was answering a lot of our questions, and she was saying, you know, she was in pain and all of that, and you could hear the pain in her voice. It was very sad, but the only thing, I don't say I was threatened, but I was telling Georgina earlier that when I was coming back up the death chute, there were some footsteps behind me, and it made,
mm-hmm.
you know how it feels like somebody's going to grab you and your muscles tighten in your back and everything? That's
yes.
what I felt, and I spun around with my flashlight, and of course there's no one there. So
obviously
I wasn't really threatened, but it kind of felt, I don't know what the word was, it just felt like somebody was fixing to grab me. Behind.
Well, that definitely would add to the creepy factor, that's for sure.
Yeah, yes, but there was no one there, so I thought that was a pretty cool experience.
No doubt. Well, at the same time,
yeah.
I'm glad you experienced it, but at the same time, I know it's probably very creepy, but, you know, that's very interesting. And you had also said something about you guys, when you looked back down the chute, you actually saw people. Like,
oh,
and they
yeah.
were, like moving.
Oh, yes. You could see, there are shadow figures, and you could see pretty much every definition. You could see their heads, their shoulders, their arms, their legs. And like I was saying, you could even see times that they would extend their arms. And I'm not sure what they were extending their arms for, if they were shaking hands or touching each other. I'm not sure what they were doing. It was so crazy. I have never seen anything like that. And again, me and Josh went all the way to the bottom. There were no trees behind there causing any shadows. I mean, there was nothing out there. You could see the light. There was a plastic bag, or not a plastic bag, but something, a huge plastic thing over the end of the tunnel. And then the bars, you could see those perfectly. But there was no movement at all down there the whole time we were down there. But then as we come probably about halfway up, you could see them moving again just perfectly. And it was
strange.
You could see them, you could see them walking, you know, from the side. You could see them moving their arms and their legs when they're walking. Then they would stop and turn and face us. And then they would turn
and
walk away.
It was crazy. So creepy.
I've never, ever experienced anything like that ever before. It was so awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow, what an experience. Oh, amazing. I just actually checked the time. We have about maybe 2 minutes left. So, no. This was awesome. I'm sorry that I popped in on half the show, but thank you so much for, you know, sharing that with us. That's absolutely amazing. I am so glad that you guys got to go. And just that building is just amazing. I
could not, I was oogling over just, you know, looking at pictures, but I really appreciate you coming on tonight and sharing that experience with us. It's so wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And Georgina,
sure.
Thank you too. I really appreciate it. Thank you for saving me at the beginning, the beginning half of the show. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Just a couple of, you know, yes, thank you. You're a doll. Just a couple of announcements. You know, May 21st in Gibson, Louisiana. Louisiana Ghost and Generations is going to be at the Authentic Bonnie and Clyde Festival. So it's going to be a lot, you know, of history and, you know, food and vendors, and you get to tour the museum and all that good stuff. And then June 3rd through the 5th, which is Hexfest, Miss Georgina Holzmeier is going to be attending and probably having a wicked good time in New Orleans, Louisiana. That's going to be so cool. Congratulations, even though I'm kind of jealous, but that's okay. I love you. And then September 23rd and 24th, SPARS, which is and the acronym for Southern Paranormal Anomaly Research Society, is going to be putting on the Gulf Coast Paracon, which is going to be in Biloxi, Mississippi. I'm sure that is just going to be absolutely amazing. I think Randy Hardy, Kevin Betts are going to be there. Selena Rohn, I believe, is going to be there as well. And then the final event I wanted to let everybody know about is that October 8th, Louisiana Ghost and Generations is going to be hosting the Bonnie and Clyde Ambush Museum. So I believe there's going to be investigation there and, you know, vendors and all that good stuff, probably some speakers. And I think they've added two additional locations, so that should be amazing. So I just wanted to go ahead and put those out there and let everybody know about that. And then you can also contact us on, you know, Fear Paranormal Society. We have the Austin chapter, Houston chapter, Dallas, Oklahoma, which Miss Jamie is a part of. Thank you. And send us your questions and what you guys want to know about and just, you know, comments and, you know, let us know how we're doing, if there's anything we need to do. But I just wanted to say thank you to our listeners for tuning in tonight, and thank you, DTM, as well. And, Jamie, thank you so much again for coming on and sharing that awesome experience. And, Georgina,
oh,
you as
welcome.
Well. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
We'll
and hopefully we'll be able to talk again soon. All right.
Yeah.
You guys have a good night.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
Bye.